The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Joyce Goh and you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. On the show today, we have Diono Nujaddin, President and CEO of the Indonesian-listed company Cardiq Aero Services, or better known as CAS Group. Welcome to the show, Diono. Let's start with the overview of the group. You're in a couple of business segments, but all of them center around the air transportation industry. CAS Group is in airport handling and cargo, catering and logistics. So please help us understand the Indonesian air transportation industry today and what is it like to operate in the local landscape there?
Okay, thank you, first of all, for having me this morning. So CAS Group, we've been operating in the aviation services sector in Indonesia for the past 33 years. And we are the largest private such company doing integrated ground handling, as you said, line maintenance for aircraft, for airlines, catering as for airlines as well as remote area catering, facility management, and we also have a pilot training business. So our core business is really to serve the airlines, and this is our strength. And we are also growing the business together with the Indonesian aviation sector, which has been growing generally doubled the GDP for more than 10 years. So we have been benefiting from the growth of the Indonesian aviation sector. Our focus is to cater to and to serve the international airlines flying into Indonesia. So we have the largest market share to serve international airlines, specifically both low-cost airlines as well as full-service carriers. And we're doing it in 16 airports around Indonesia.
Speaking about the 16 airports, so air transportation is the main way for Indonesians to travel across the nation. I mean, it has about 17,500 islands.
That's correct,
yeah?
Yes.
So the CAS Group, as you said, operates in 16 airports in Indonesia, but there are a lot more airports, right, if you look at it countrywide. So are you looking to enter into other airports?
Yes. So right now we are in 16 airports because our focus has been on international flights. So we are focused on airports that serve international airlines. But going forward, we're also looking at the domestic airline sector because there's a lot of growth in the domestic airline sector. In fact, probably higher growth than in the international sector. So we are looking for expansion opportunities in smaller airports, but the volume has to be there, obviously. So we're not going to go into an airport that doesn't have enough flight frequency or passenger volume. So it really depends on how many flights are there, how many passengers are there. But we are looking at expanding beyond the 16 airports. But primarily in the past, we've been looking at expanding for international airlines. So that's why we're only in 16 airports.
Interesting. So when you talk about volume and flight frequency, what would be ideal for you to enter into that new airport? Any that comes to mind right now that's in your radar when it comes to the airports that you're looking at in Indonesia?
Yeah, so the government actually has been focusing on increasing tourist arrivals. So they have a target in 2019 to increase tourist arrivals to 20 million tourists. So with that, they've also targeted a few key airport destinations to serve as what they call the new Bali, because Bali is very famous. Everyone knows about Bali, but the government wants to develop other Bali-type destinations. One such airport, for example, is Labuan Bajo, which serves Komodo Island, and this is in eastern Indonesia, east of Bali. It's now a fairly small airport, less than 1 million passengers. But we are looking to expand in that airport because we see a lot of potential going forward. And there's a lot of demand for tourists to go to that area. There's other such places which we would look at, driven by the government policy of promoting tourism to other destinations within Indonesia.
Well, speaking about Indonesia's aviation industry and due to the incoming influx of foreign tourists, the industry is looking at a double-digit passenger growth this year. And the government and industry observers are predicting the number of air passengers will climb about 30% to 140 million in 2018. So could you tell us more about the potential of the air transportation business in Indonesia and what are you doing to tap into it?
Yes, those numbers are growing quite fast because the income levels are also rising. We have a large sizable growth in the middle income. So people have more income to spend on travel. Travel has become a fast-growing sector as a whole. And how we are capturing this momentum is, as I mentioned, we are looking to expand into new destinations where not only international tourists would like to go, but domestic tourists. So there's also a push to develop new domestic tourist destinations. And so we're looking to develop new operations in some of those airports. But within the current airports, I think there's a lot of opportunity also to expand our scope of services to cater to more and more passengers going through the airport. But we also look at the other part of our business. In fact, the bigger part of our business is cargo. So we see the growth of cargo and air freight as significant in Indonesia as the economy grows. And so we see a lot of opportunity also to grow our cargo business in the airports that we operate today, but also new airports. So there's an emphasis, and the government has just issued some new strategic outlooks on where they would like industry to go going forward, and they're going to focus a lot on the technology-oriented industries, which require transportation by air for a lot of the products. So we see cargo especially quite important for the future of our business.
Cargo is already in your business. Earlier you spoke about expanding services. Any new services that you're looking at?
Yes. So we're looking at developing, for example, a logistics center that will be outside of the airport. This will allow the capacity of the airport to handle more cargo without necessarily having to build more facility within the airport. So we expand and we will build facilities outside of the airport, which will be complementary to the airport, so we can provide more value-added services, services for businesses such as e-commerce that require fast clearance, fast processing, pick and pack, sortation center, fulfillment centers. All of these things require a lot more space around the airport and not necessarily within the airport. So we see quite a fair bit of our investment in the next few years going into developing some of these cargo-related or logistics facilities outside of the airport.
Speaking about your logistics center, where will it be? Will it be in Jakarta? And how much are you looking to invest into this center?
We're looking at one such center outside of Jakarta, outside of the Soekarno-Hatta Airport, which is in Jakarta. The total investment will be about $100 million, but our portion,
US dollars.
Yes, but that's the total project size, but we will probably only take about one-third. We're looking at partners to help us to develop this. Our priority is really to develop the services and not really invest in the assets. So we will work together with other investors to develop the assets, to develop the land and the infrastructure.
You're looking to do this year?
We will start, we hope to start this year, but the project will probably be completed sometime next year.
Okay, interesting. And earlier we were talking about income levels and how that is helping the aviation industry. So the aviation segment growth typically is about 2.5 times economic growth. And people are pointing to April 2019 as, the presidential elections are coming up. So there'll be a push for extra travel there. But airport capacity is also an obstacle and that could potentially curb growth. Is that a threat to your business growth?
Yes. Well, I wouldn't say it's a threat, but it's definitely a hurdle to growing our business. We require, for our business to grow, the airport capacity must be growing. Mm. But I must say that the government has put a strong emphasis. President Jokowi's, one of his focus is to build infrastructure in Indonesia, and he's committed quite a lot of the state budget to do that. So there is a lot of commitment from the government to build airports in the next few years. I believe there's close to $18 billion of of projects that are earmarked just for airports between 2015, 2019. There's a lot of emphasis from the government to build airports, and they are also allowing private companies to participate. So we're also looking at potentially investing in managing airports also.
Oh, in managing airports
So right now the law allows for private companies to also operate and build and even invest in airports.
You're looking to build an airport?
So one of the things, if we have the opportunity, we would want to have the chance to not do it ourselves, but do it with a partner or a few partners. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at this potential also.
And where would this new airport be?
We haven't identified, well, there's a few locations that we're looking at, but probably somewhere in eastern Indonesia.
I've been speaking to Diono Nujadin, President and CEO of Cardiac Aero Services. After this, we'll dive into the business and numbers of the CAS Group that is right smack in the middle of the Indonesian air transport sector. Stay tuned to The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Joyce Goh and you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. And my guest today is Diono Nujadin, President and CEO of Cardiac Aero Services, or better known as CAS Group. Diono, earlier we were talking about the industry as a whole. Now let's look into your business. The CAS Group is in three main airport services. You have airport handling, cargo business, and catering, as well as management services, so facilities management services. But I noticed that airport handling and cargo business is the only business segment that saw a noticeable uptick in its revenue and earnings. Why haven't the other businesses seen as much growth in their earnings?
Well, all of them have been growing, but the airport handling has grown much higher, much faster than the others. And that's principally because a lot of that business is the cargo business, and Indonesia has experienced large volume growth in its cargo, especially air freight, air cargo. So that's has to do maybe with some of the infrastructure bottlenecks that are happening in the other modes of transport, like in the seaports and the road. So there's more and more cargo being shipped. So we have benefited from that. Mm. And also, obviously, the technology trends like e-commerce, that's driving a lot of air freight also. Mm. Not only in Indonesia, but in the region and probably further outside of the region. So in terms of the other business, they are growing, but not as fast. So in our catering business, we've been going through some consolidation. So we were primarily focused in terms of the non-airline catering business on the remote area mining companies. So we served like coal mines in the remote areas in Indonesia. And until very recently, they were suffering from the lower commodity prices. Mm. So we've had to restructure some of those businesses that we've had with them. And so one of the things that we're doing to correct this is to not focus necessarily on these types of companies. And we're growing our non-airline catering business more towards institutions like factories, schools, hospitals, which require less logistics, you know, because they are not, they're operating in the city or around the city, as opposed to a very remote area like in Kalimantan. It's much less of a burden on the logistics side, and we see a lot of potential. In terms of the facility management, there was also not as much growth as what we had expected, because there was a delay in some infrastructure investments. We invested in a laundry facility. We're going to focus on providing laundry services to hospitals because we see that is being outsourced quite a fair bit in Indonesia. Mm-hmm. So new hospitals are being built, but they don't want to build everything in the hospital. So they'll outsource some of these services, like supporting services like laundry, and eventually also catering. We want to get into catering for hospitals also.
Interesting. So now currently your business, how many percent of that is in the air transportation and how many percent of that is not in the air transportation?
The majority is still in air transportation, and that's going to continue to grow. Mm. But we want to diversify and we see opportunities where we can leverage our experience and our skills to other sectors. So, for example, in catering, we're not going to do event catering, you know, or weddings. We will do catering to institutions that value the standards that we have because we're catering to airlines. So an institution like a hospital, they require very high standards of hygiene and safety, or even a factory, like a multinational factory, for example, like we're serving Toyota in Indonesia, so they're building state-of-the-art new factories, and they require the outsourced services to be also very high standard. So we will go to and go to clients that can appreciate the level and the standards that we've built into our aviation-related businesses.
So the CAS Group, when it comes to in-flight catering, you guys produce more than 7.65 million meals in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that the group, their services for this is mainly in Soekarno-Hatta International Airport.
Yeah, Jakarta.
Yeah? Why not go beyond Jakarta?
Yeah, so we are going to. So we are looking at expanding into Bali. Mm-hmm. We had a kitchen there before, and we're going to now invest and look for a new kitchen to operate in Bali and possibly in other of the large airports like Surabaya or even Medan.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fairly new business for us. It's the way we grow our business is we see what airlines require and what we haven't done for them. So catering, we invested in much later than the core services that we had. This is part of our way to complete the services that we can provide to the airline. So we started with Jakarta because it's the biggest volume of flights in Indonesia. But we will expand. The next place will probably be Bali.
Yeah, I understand Jakarta Airport's about 46% of the market share of the total Indonesia. Bali would be about over 30%.
Yeah.
So it looks like you're aiming for 70% market share when it comes to that.
Well, we want to be in the airports that have the largest market share of passengers, yes.
Looking at your numbers, your margins are thinning overall. So it has come down to 16% in 2017 compared to 25% in 2012, 2013 and 2015. So what are you doing about that?
Yes, so this is really because the airline business is very cyclical, as we know. So sometimes the airlines also are going through quite difficult times, you know, such as when fuel costs are high or when competition is very tight. So our margins also can fluctuate because we have to accommodate some of the requirements from the airlines. But also we see increased competition in our industry. So as a result, margins are going to continue to be under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So how we are trying to maintain and even increase our margins is really, one, we do a lot of efficiencies in the process. So we're incorporating a lot of technology now into our processes, which will make our cost structure much more efficient. So we realize that it will require investment, but investment in technology today is much less than before.
Mm.
So, but for the future also, it will be very, very important for us to incorporate this type of process into our business in order to be able to maintain an effective competitive cost structure. So technology is very important going forward in terms of our business process. Secondly, also we want to develop, as I mentioned before, new services for the airlines.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these new services we'll be able to get and earn quite good margins, not only for us, but it will be also very valuable for the airlines. So these are some of new services which we want to roll out together with the airlines, both in the cargo side as well as in the passenger terminal.
Well, the group is in the services to transport goods and cargo, but this is through a private company and not on the listed group.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Could you share with us the business of logistics and what is the trend now?
Yes, so we outside of the group, through an affiliate, we have a joint venture with UPS. So that's a logistic company out of the U.S., And we do the UPS business in Indonesia. In Indonesia, I believe this segment will grow quite significantly also because of the trend of, for example, in e-commerce. And generally, shipments are becoming very, very critical for a lot of business processes, shipping goods in a timely and efficient manner. So, and Indonesia is an archipelago. It's very big country, but separated by a lot of water. So logistics will become a very important part of the business environment in Indonesia.
You were here recently for a talk. You gave a panel talk on trade,
yes.
Inter-trade, right?
Yes.
Between countries. So could you share with us the trends that you're seeing from that?
Yes, I think, I was here to attend a business conference by APCAC. And so there we saw businesses from the region, especially ASEAN. And ASEAN is a very important growth area for us also. Because of the open sky, we benefit from more flights coming in and out of Indonesia. ASEAN is a market of more than 600 million people, and is separated by a lot of water. So that means that transportation, air transportation, is very, very important. So this coming together and inter-regional trade and flows of people are going to be very important for our business.
Looking at your numbers, you are profitable. I mean, you can see your earnings, it has grown over the years. But, you know, as airport management moves towards AI, what are you doing to ensure that your business does not get disrupted?
Yes, so we have started several initiatives this year, one of which is we held an internal company forum called Disruption, where we try to disrupt ourselves. So we actually invited outside speakers, and we got many of the young people in our company below 29 years old, what we call the millennials, you know, to come out and give us ideas on what they think can disrupt our business. So we see disruption as something that we have to live with going forward. So as I mentioned before, technology is going to be a very important part of our business, and we're starting from the business process. But going forward, I think on the revenue side, we'll also want to leverage on technology to grow our revenue. But in the first phase, where we see the most impact is really on the cost side. So we're going to use a lot of these innovations and technology in the business process.
How much are you going to invest into tech?
So we haven't narrowed down a number, but obviously we're not a tech company. We still have to invest in our core assets, operating assets, which are the equipment and kitchens and other infrastructure. So the emphasis will still be on that. But we want to incorporate technology into everything that we do, but we want to do it in a cost-effective manner, which is very, I think, quite easy to do today because technology doesn't have to be so expensive in today's environment.
I've been speaking to Diono Nujadin, President and CEO of Cardiac Aero Services. Thank you for being on Breakfast Grill today, Diono. It was great having you on the show. I'm Joyce Goh for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.